News Force is a new kind of news impacting your life. Exclusively on NewsForce247.com.
Do you ever ponder? Do you ever wonder? Do you ever question? Can my server serve me? Your computer will print. Should you call the president? What in the world are you gonna do? Don't know the reason why. Do you find it a waste of time? Because you cannot hear online. Call Adam, the computer guy.
And a very good Tuesday afternoon to you fine folks. Adam Lepp here, the computer guy, and a person with many monikers here at this fine radio station on the Adam the Computer Guy mid-afternoon coffee break radio program. Thank you so much for tuning us in today, taking time out of your summer-like Tuesday, June the 17th, 2021. But I can assure you that it will be time well spent. Live here in the studio, taking your telephone calls, so don't be shy. 740-383-9944. That is the digits, as they say. We had so much fun this past Monday morning after I had a few cups of coffee and sat my rear end at the official announcer's chair in front of the control, speaking with an R&B historian and old school music aficionado and a former assistant to the late great Mary Wilson of the Supremes. That was Nicholas Lamont Stiles Jr. Okay, we just call him Nick. Easier that way. So we had so much fun chit-chatting this past Monday. We've decided to do an encore, just like if you were to go to a Supremes concert and after the curtain goes down and you clap, Diana and her friends come out and sing Baby Love and I Hear a Symphony. Just a couple more times for your listening pleasure and enjoyment of outstanding music and beautiful ladies. Well, we brought back my guest for an encore. Fitting, again, being a person with the musical knowledge and interest that he has. So, Nick, sitting across from me, when it's a bit warmer now than it was when you were here on this Monday morning. Are you enjoying this nice summer weather?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, and when you were working with Mary, you were living in Las Vegas, and I know Phoenix has been 115 degrees this week. I imagine it's similar weather there in Vegas, a bit of a desert climate. It's a dry heat, not the humid heat we have here, but not 115 here in Marion, but it is a bit on the toasty side, but here in the studio, temperature is a comfortable 68 degrees.
Right.
Plus or minus. Now, you have many friends, Nick, that listened to the live program, your live video, and the show in our archives. And what was the general consensus? Were they impressed by you'd never, I guess, never done actual live in studio radio? You had done telephone calls and Zoom. So, what did your friends, relatives, colleagues, and others think about your debut performance on live in studio radio?
Well, a lot of people had said I had sounded. A lot of people had said I sounded more confident, wasn't as nervous, because I was nervous the previous interviews I had done.
Oh, you're nervous, huh? Okay. Yeah. Was it me making you nervous?
No, I wasn't nervous.
You know, not like I'm some big radio star. It's not like you're in the studio with somebody really important.
No, I wasn't nervous with you. I was nervous doing like my first few interviews that I had did. I was nervous with those because I kind of didn't know what to expect after doing those.
Yeah, you really never know. And honestly, Nick, when I sit my rear end in the announcer's chair, I'm not even quite sure what's going to happen or what I'm going to say.
Right.
But in many ways, that's good because live radio, being unscripted, being off the cuff, is better than what you might hear through one of your canned music channels or newfangled ways of listening. The callers make the show, the Facebook messages, the emails, and just the discourse between the two of us.
Right.
That makes the program, and we know what the general topics are, and me especially, I go off on tangents a lot, but sometimes they're kind of fun because you never quite know what's going to transpire during the program, and we like to learn something in both cases.
Right. No, you're right.
So you enjoyed the experience so much and you wanted to come back in for an encore.
Yeah.
Like the Supremes coming back and singing Baby Love were another big hit after after the curtain goes down.
Right.
So for our people that did not listen to the show last Monday, and we're not gonna spank you or anything, it's okay. We understand people have busy schedules. They can't always just be glued to the radio. So for those who are not familiar with you, who didn't listen Tuesday or didn't see all the Facebook messages that you and I have plastered all over social media, mm-hmm. I think it was worth it. Share with our listeners a little bit about yourself and, again, what I alluded to earlier, the work you did for Mary Wilson.
I'm 22. I'm from Lorain, Ohio. I worked, well, let's start from here. Mary Wilson was my mentor. I became her assistant in November. And I also run a Supremes fan page, which is like a, which would be compared to a modern day fan club. I am a big Motown, old school music fanatic. Self-proclaimed historian. That's really about it.
That's okay. I'm a self-proclaimed walking encyclopedia of music 73 to 87. But what's unique is I was alive during those years. I mean, mm-hmm. that's from my elementary school days to my early adulthood when I'd left radio the first time. You know, radio's very addicting, so sure enough, it came back to it about 10 years ago, and I don't regret any of that at all. This music, you know, you being born almost at the millennium, as we talked about before, is older than you are. In fact, in some cases, older than your parents and other relatives who are a generation older.
Yeah.
But I think you would agree that there's good music out currently. But yeah. That stuff in the 60s, 70s, through mid-80s, can't beat it. Yeah. And Motown is really the foundation of a lot of current music. Even the hard rock, so much of it is influenced by the great Motown performers. And we often right. see that by these people having multiple talents. Who comes to mind? Well, Prince. We lost him at an early age, but he played every instrument. Honestly, I think he's one of the greatest rock guitarists ever. You know, Jimi Hendrix, kind of hard to classify him, but I may have very well have been the first hard rock, heavy metal person who also sang. And, you know, his music was a bit psychedelic, but Eddie Van Halen, you can certainly hear some influences, the way both of them could just make unusual noises from a guitar that you wouldn't expect. Mm-hmm. And it was pleasing, though. It wasn't actual noise. It was something which went well with the song and with the lyrics. Right. And we turned to Stevie Wonder, still around.
Right.
And he plays every instrument. He produces, he writes, and he's blind.
Right.
I mean, he came out 12-year-old genius with fingertips, which is actually before I was born, so you know that was a long time ago. But even around age 70, he's still a genius.
Mm-hmm.
And when people can do multiple things, they have such an influence on all types of music, not just the kind that might be their particular niche. We didn't talk much about Stevie Wonder last time. Mm-hmm. You a fan, or what do you think about
him? Yeah, no, I'm a fan, a big fan. Actually, I think Superstitions was the first, from what I remember, Superstitions and Lady Marmalade by LaBelle were the first two old school songs I can remember hearing. For two reasons, they were both remade in my generation. So
yeah, multiple. Yeah, definitely. Lady Mar, you know, that song is kind of like PG-13 rated, but a lot of lyrics are, plus songs are poetry, Nick, so mm-hmm. they have multiple meanings, and many times people will argue, and intellectually argue, debate, not like fist fight, I mean just debate,
right.
the meaning of a particular song. And
that's true.
In the case of Lady Marmalade, well, what it is probably about, we don't want to talk about on a family station, but maybe it has some other meanings, mm-hmm. like it's about, you know, marmalade is a kind of jelly. Maybe it's about the female jelly. I don't know. About making a sandwich, a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I mean, who knows? Many times you'll find three or four meanings of a song or any kind of other poetry. Mm-hmm. Stevie Wonder songs, every one of them, just kind of makes you go into thought.
Yeah.
Superstition. It's kind of fascinating if you look at the lyrics.
Right.
Living for the City, quite a cultural impact, I think, on that song.
Yeah.
And many of the songs from In Square Circle, that's one of my favorite albums from my radio days back in the mid-80s. So these people are quite genius, to put it mildly. Mm-hmm. And we turn to, again, the girl groups.
Right.
Now, we don't claim that Diana Ross and Mary Wilson, Florence Ballard, the Supremes, do all the instrumentation, writing, and producing, and singing that Stevie Wonder and Prince and others do. Right. But they play an instrument, and the instrument's called their voice.
Right.
And that's important. I mean, some people play the sax, they play the guitar, some play their voice, and some people play everything. Mm-hmm. But their sound was so unique, and it has helped develop many of the current R&B musicians.
Right.
See if we got the controls working. Good afternoon. You are on the radio with Adam and Nick.
Oh, hi there. I have a question for Nick. She feels so close to Mary. Does she have any new music coming up?
That I don't know for sure, but I can tell you that from what I heard, there is enough for a full album.
Oh, okay. Is anyone working towards releasing it? Is there a state working towards that?
I think so. Last I heard, which I think her daughter had did an interview with Entertainment Tonight, they are working to release more stuff in the near future.
Oh, that's exciting. I really loved it that her debut album was recently released. And also, another thing, Diana Ross just released a brand new song today, too.
Right.
So we're going to talk about that very soon. I was listening to that song on YouTube while I was eating lunch. I was very impressed. You know, some of these singers, they get older, they lose the range, they lose the oomph. I don't know what other word to use. She hasn't lost anything. Diana Ross says, you know, there's no loss at all in terms of what I'm hearing in her ability. And it reminded me of an old school, I was talking to Nick before the show, Marvin Gaye, Tammy Terrell song, a couple of their great duets. So, good stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, it really is. All right, well, hey, thanks for taking my call. You guys have an awesome afternoon.
No problem. Thanks for listening. Adam here on The Talking Place, taking your phone calls. Hey, don't be shy. 740-383-9944. We'd love to hear from you. Questions for Nick, questions for me, comments, suggestions, even complaints. No problem. It's okay. We accept complaints. That's no problem. You know, I always have that little red button where we can go ahead and go to another phone call. Not a big deal, but that'll be fine. So, yeah, I think she represents, Nick, one of thousands of people, millions of people who are excited by the prospect of new music from these great ladies. And the Diana Ross song today, Thank You, I believe it's called.
Yeah.
You know, thank her for, 60-plus years of great music with hopefully many more to come. We'll talk about that in a second. I was listening to it while I was picking out
also,
at the pizza buffet
I
prior
mention,
to my radio appearance.
I want to mention Diana Ross. Today is the day that the Supremes' first number one hit was released. Where'd Our Love Go?
Where did Our Love Go? Where has the time gone? 60 years, right?
Yeah.
It's amazing. And redone, as we talked about last time, by the rock band Jay Giles, known for their number one hit, Centerfold, another band from my college and early professional radio days. So when a song is remade, Nick, especially when it's remade by a band or a performer different from the original, you know it's got to be a good song. And although there are similarities, there's a lot of blues rooted in the music of the Supremes and Jay Giles. They are pretty different. You have a girl group, R&B, and you have a rock band that you would think would not have much in common with this early pop music.
Right.
But both versions sound good, and when you can do that, a song has a lot of staying power.
Right.
And we just talking about Stevie Wonder, a lot of his songs are like that. They've got staying power on multiple stations.
Right.
In terms of multiple formats. Now, that's radio talk. You know, Michael Jackson, I think he was more of a pop R&B until Beat It. Again, Eddie Van Halen again does that guitar solo. Steve Lukather from Toto and other bands with a lot of the guitar. And rock and roll stations were playing Beat It. And you would think, well, what rock and roll station would make fun of Michael, would play Michael Jackson? They normally make fun of Michael Jackson. I mean, they respect him. They just say, well, we don't play Michael Jackson. We don't play Barbra Streisand. Well,
right.
They don't play Barbra Streisand, but when Eddie Van Halen and Steve Lukather do the guitars on an upbeat, danceable, but rock Michael Jackson song, they'll play it. If that's the format, go for it. You know, we had Beth by Kiss, an easy listening kind of song by a hard rock band, and easy listening songs played it because it's a mellow song. So when these formats cross over, that's when you know someone just has this amazing talent.
Right.
And with the Supremes, they have been an influence on many, many different genres, even ones that you might not think would be obvious. Adam here on The Talking Place, 27 minutes after 2 in the p.m. on this nice summery Thursday afternoon in Marion from our studio live on South Prospect Street. speaking with my guest, making an encore presentation from his Monday appearance, Nick Stiles, former assistant to Mary Wilson of the Supremes and a R&B old school music historian. He's talking about some other musicians that we admire. We talked about Stevie Wonder, and you know, Prince, we lost him at an early age. Mm-hmm. I just thought he did that guitar solo on Purple Rain is a classic.
Yeah.
It goes right up there with guitar solos from Eddie Van Halen, Joe Perry, and others. You a Prince fan? Do you miss him as much as I do? Any thoughts on the guy?
No, I definitely wouldn't call myself a fan, like a big fan, like I am of like other artists. But I definitely do appreciate have appreciation for his music.
Yeah, just when people are multi-talented, mm-hmm. and in many cases, again, their instrument that they play is their voice.
Right.
But sometimes these people play so many different things, you kind of wonder, what is it that you like most? Well, often it's just the whole package.
Right.
So we turn our attention to, we've been alluding to this, Nick, the new single from Diana Ross, fittingly coming out on the 60th anniversary of their foray into superstardom on the pop charts. And the song's called Thank You. Mm-hmm. It has a good old school feel to it. Do you agree, Nick, when she's 75, 76, she's not lost anything.
No.
It's the same Diana, but not that her songs, I'm not saying all of her songs sound the same. They all have different character, but she
right.
just puts her feeling into a song.
Right,
I know, I sang, I said, comedy purposes, I have a talking voice, but Diana has a way of just painting a picture in your mind when she sings, and mm-hmm. that sweet voice just resonates.
Right.
And were you maybe surprised, Nick, when you heard the song, how good it was? I mean, what were you expecting? I mean, you would be closer to knowing what might to expect, having worked with Mary, you know, mm-hmm. not having met or talked to Diana, but at least knowing someone that work with her and other artists. Were you impressed by the music? Do you think Diana, she can still do it?
No, I definitely think she can still do it. I'm very, very impressed. I'm actually not shocked, because I knew that she could do it, but I'm very impressed because we haven't heard anything in almost 20 years, anything new in almost 20 years.
Yeah, and it certainly was time. I mean, she doesn't need the money.
Right.
But that isn't all of it. It's the enjoyment of singing. And I think mm-hmm. you can tell, and they say the same thing about athletes, about baseball players. Yeah, they make millions of dollars a year. Do they really enjoy playing? Well, they should. If they don't, they need to find a new line of work.
Right.
There are certain types of jobs that you don't really go to because you enjoy them. I mean, you should always get at least some enjoyment out of your job. Mm-hmm. You know, I mentioned broadcasting. Might surprise some people. Broadcasting is a low-paying field. Even the fairly big stars, yeah, I mean, you earn enough to pay the rent, but it's not something that you're going to get rich on. Mm-hmm. And you got to do it because you love it. And again, Diana will certainly make quite a bit, I think, from her new effort. But
right.
that's not why she did it. She did it because she loves singing.
Mm-hmm.
And remind people, as long as you enjoy doing it, there's no reason to stop.
Right.
And I'm glad that she kind of feels that way.
Yeah. No, I agree.
If we had the pleasure, Nick, of having Diana sit in that chair there in our studio,
mm-hmm.
What would you want to tell? Would you want to congratulate her on some great music? Would you want to ask her any questions? We had a caller ask you questions. So if Diana were sitting there, we didn't discuss that last Monday, what would you want to ask her?
Oh, there's so much I would like to ask her.
I put you on the spot. I'm sorry.
What would I want to ask Diana Ross if I get a chance to meet her?
Maybe for a loan, but...
I
had to make a wisecrack to loosen things up a little bit. Well, I mean, would it be more about her personal life, about Mary maybe? That might be a little uncomfortable.
That might be a little bit uncomfortable.
Yeah, would it be
with the situation?
Would you want to congratulate her? I mean, on the 60 years, obviously.
Definitely. Congratulations, and more than likely telling her, you know, how much I have loved her and how much she's been an influence to me.
And keep singing. Totally,
yeah.
You know, as long as she can, keep singing songs. There's no reason to stop because, her, you know, we have enough strife in the world. I think music makes us happy. Especially her songs are always positive, and she has that sweet, uplifting style.
Right.
And I don't. It's not something you, not something that, that you hear every day.
No, it's true.
And we talked about that a lot of current R&B artists and artists in general, but you know, Beyonce was one you brought up, and I agree that certainly she was influenced a lot by Diana.
Mm-hmm.
You think Diana would agree if you asked her?
Diana's mentioned that she loves Beyonce.
So she has her artists that she's particularly interested in.
Yeah.
That she has influenced.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be a fascinating person to talk to for sure. And would Diana maybe be the number one person, Nick, you'd like to have sitting in that chair next to you if we were to do another show? Would she kind of be number one?
If I can choose from a list of anyone, yeah, Diana would
Diana's
be number one.
Number one. Okay, Diana, can you give me like one. Maybe two and three?
Diana Ross,
I ask hard questions, I'm sorry.
These are great questions.
Yeah, kind of a fun question.
These are great questions because they make you think.
Yeah, okay. That's fine. We'll play
I think Tina Turner.
Tina Turner.
And
talk
then
about
another
two ladies with beautiful hair, I tell you. Tina Turner. She
another singer who's unsung. She's not really, like, you know, mentioned anymore, besides when she was in her heyday. Carla Thomas.
Carla Thomas, yeah, mm-hmm. not quite as well known.
Right.
But, yeah, Tina Turner. Again, like with Diana Ross, the image, I mean, the, mm-hmm. the hair, the outfits. And my understanding, a not very good marriage with her late former husband, Ike.
Right.
I think she did better on her own. You know, I didn't know too much about them until she hit it huge in the mid-'80s. And those movie songs, too, the Mad Max songs. Mm-hmm. And the title song, Private Dancer, I liked. And that album in general was excellent. But maybe a bit like Sonny and Cher. It seems like when she started doing music on her own, she became bigger. Mm-hmm. Maybe she just had less constraints. You don't really know. I mean, the image was better. Who knows? But you listen to a lot of the Ike and Tina Turner stuff, and you kind of hear a lot of the same type of music.
Mm-hmm.
I think Sonny and Cher were quite different than Cher on her own. That's a little different, but whatever. It's all great music. I know my dad loved the Sonny and Cher show and the music. So I think that they were multi-talented. They were both, I mean, Sonny was in politics also, of course, but they both could act. They were both funny.
Right.
And same with Streisand. A lot of these people, they have multiple talents. And Diana Ross and Mary Wells, I know, I was looking at her biography. She had some parts in movies. I mean, mm-hmm. she wasn't a movie star, but she did
like
do
cameos.
She did have some acting. Mm-hmm. What was Diana Ross's other pursuits? I mean, did either of them play any instruments? We didn't even talk about that. You know, besides their voice, the voice is an instrument. How much acting or directing did Diana do, and also any songwriting? I mean, I could look it up, but I figure you would know, so I'll just ask the expert.
Now, songwriting, I'm not too sure on that one, but she was an actress. So, Lady Sings the Blues, Mahogany, The Wiz, a movie called Out of Darkness that was like a TV movie. And then another TV movie called Double Platinum, which was in the late 90s with Brandy.
So how would you rate her acting? Is she a good actress?
Yeah, I think so.
You would think multi-talented.
She's probably one of the best, in my opinion, one of the best singer-turned-actresses. Although she didn't, you know, stick to acting. You know.
Yeah, and sometimes it's a case where they're actors turn singing, like the many actors in the 80s that sang. You know, Eddie Murphy, Party All the Time. You kind of love it or you hate it. It was mm-hmm. produced by a Nile Rodgers production, but I thought he was a pretty good singer. I mean, the guy is multi-talented. Mm-hmm. You know, not going to win any awards for his range, but I think he does a decent job. Good afternoon. Right. You are on the air with Adam and Nick. Good afternoon. You're on the air with Adam and Nick.
Yes. Good afternoon. My name is Jennifer.
Hi, Jennifer.
And I'm like his godmom. And I'd like to ask him a question. How does he feel today about being the actual person who found Mary not breathing and not alive?
It's still something that actually is hard, although I am better. That makes sense. I'm better than what I was when, you know, everything first happened, but...
Well, I'm glad you're better, because I know that was such a hard thing for you.
Right.
Because I know how much you loved Mary.
Right.
And how much of a blessing it was for you to actually get that job.
Right. Now, I remember our phone conversations. I was excited. And, you know, you're one of the people who helped me, helped motivate me to go to Vegas, too. Because I know, a lot of people don't know, I was struggling with the back and forth of should I go or should I not go. So I want to thank you for that. Thank you.
Oh, no thank you necessary. I thank God that Mary had you in those last days of her life, because she was not alone.
Right. Right.
Yeah, it was a great experience. I mean, for Nick, I can't describe it, because I've never done anything even remotely similar than just finding that she had passed away. It takes a very strong person to go through that, and you certainly grow as a human when that happens, but mm-hmm. it was tragic.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for calling, ma'am. I really, really appreciate it. We are taking your phone calls, so a person that you knew. I'm glad she's listening. 740-383-WWGH, 740-383-9944. As I said, Nick, words really can't describe it. I don't know what to say. Mm-hmm. Just... any minute that you would have spent with Mary, you will grow as a person, you will learn.
Right.
And that it just ended so tragically. But she lived a full life, productive, and has met many people that admire and respect her so much.
Right.
And her music will always have a place in American culture and worldwide culture.
Well, that's true. That is true.
And that's about all I can say. I'm kind of at a loss for words. But I know that she's watching from heaven, appreciating what she did and appreciating that we can talk about her, and rooting Diana on, hoping Diana's song hits number one. And
right.
we'll see what happens. And I think by Diana releasing music, again, first time in a generation, people that are not familiar with her, and we're talking, Nick, people that are 40 or 50 years old that probably have not heard of Diana Ross. It's a shame, and it's a strange perspective, because these people are old enough, or old, more than old enough to be your parents, but you like the stuff from previous generations. People will appreciate what Diana Ross can do, has done, and the influence that she has on musicians of all genres.
Right.
And it's some pretty cool stuff. About 19 minutes before the hour of 3 here on The Talking Place on the Adam Lip. Oh, good. Telephone call just as I was making another syllable. We're a popular bunch today, Nick. Good afternoon. You are on WWGH with Adam and Nick. Hi.
Thank you.
You're welcome. How are you today, sir?
I'm doing good.
Well, glad to hear that. Did you want to speak to Nick or speak to me or just...
Oh, yes. I'd like to speak to Nick.
Oh, here. He's right here for you.
All right.
But the microphone is yours.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Hello, Nick?
Yeah, hi.
And this is Ray Shaw, the professor.
Hi.
How's it going?
Good, and you?
I'm doing good. You know, I'm glad that you know that you're taking life a day at a time. And, you know, because Mary's death is still, I'm still coping with it myself.
Mm-hmm. No, me too. Me too. I definitely can agree with that. Could agree on that.
Now, question on, what is your favorite song
Mary Wilson sang lead on? Definitely is her solo version of Can't Take My Eyes Off You. Because what was released was her version with, if I'm not mistaken, Eddie Kendricks.
Yeah.
Well, that was released on the Temptations and the Supremes joined together album. But her version by herself is, I think, my favorite solo Supremes song. If not that, You're What's Missing in My Life.
Oh, I like that one, too. I like that version myself.
Because
my favorite is Touch, He's My Man, and her spoken intro of High Energy.
Yeah.
So are you still in Vegas or in Ohio?
I'm in Ohio, but I'm back in Ohio now. Yeah.
Okay,
I got
that's
back
good.
If I'm not mistaken, April.
That's good.
Yeah, we're live in the studio here in Marion.
Okay, thanks. Continue to drive for exits. I'll inbox you.
No, I appreciate your calling, Ray Sean. Glad you like the show.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Have a good day, sir.
You too, thanks.
Adam here on The Talking Place with a very popular guest. We have Nick Stiles, again, former assistant to late, great Mary Wilson. We're speaking about many things. We've had a few phone calls. Really appreciate that. We'd love to talk to you about music, about some current past music, his work with Mary Wilson, other R&B artists. We talked about Stevie Wonder, Prince, Michael Jackson, so many good ones.
Mm-hmm.
740-383-9944. If you ever miss a program here on The Talking Place, be it one of my programs or someone else's show, you can go to our website, curated, hosted program by yours truly, WWGH1071.com. And also, like Hillary and Melania, we have a private email server, which is also curated by yours truly, Adam at WWGH1071.com. That is how you can reach me. So you can listen to the shows we did on Monday. If you didn't get a chance to catch them, just go to my section, Adam the Computer Guy, on the website and just listen on demand on your mobile phone, your smartphone, your not-so-smartphone, your computer, tablet, what have you. And this program will be available also for on-demand listening sometime by this evening. The Richland Road Church of Christ is having its monthly free food giveaway this Saturday, the 19th, at 9 a.m. Just a FYI, community announcement for you. Here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio, 15 minutes left to the program. You know, Nick, time flies when you're having
right.
fun. We just start talking, and people call. We shoot the breeze a bit, and sure enough, it's almost time for us to bid a fair adieu, but there is plenty of time left.
Right.
So we're talking about Diana Ross. I see you have a book there, Supreme mm-hmm. Exit. We'll talk about that shortly. Do you see a resurgence, Nick, in Diana's career? These reboots, there have been TV show reboots, like the Roseanne was fairly successful. Then Roseanne got fired, and now it's the Connors. And mm-hmm. it's just the same actors and actresses. And they have talked about a Frasier or a Seinfeld reboot, Friends reboot, which probably isn't going to happen. Then these artists come back. You know, like the Rolling Stones, they've just been around, I mean, since the Stone Ages, and they seem to be continuing to be around. We have Paul McCartney still touring, as far as I know, and, you know, he's been around since, goodness sakes, right before I was born with the Beatles, so, you know, it's been a while. Mm-hmm. Do you know the circumstances as to why Diana took the 20-year break? We have to wait 20 more years for more music. What do you see in the near future for her?
Well, she did state, she's been touring. So she has, you know, been touring and selling shows out and doing a few residencies in Vegas. But she did state that, you know, the whole music recording process and putting an album together and the release of it and sales has all been different. And she didn't really know how that, you know, worked. So that's kind of what kept her out of the studio.
Do you think maybe the digital music age, I mean, where you don't just go into the record store and
right.
buy
that's
that
what she was
45 for $1.29, yeah. or,
that's,
you know.
That's
or,
what she stated, yeah.
Or the 8-track tape. You don't remember 8-track tapes, mm-mm. but I do. But people just downloading stuff. I guess that's, you know, talking to their Alexa. You know, Alexa, play the Supremes.
Right.
Of course, if Alexa was smart, she would say, well, the Supremes have 500 great songs. Which one do you want to hear? I'd say, well, all of them. Pick them. They're all good. It doesn't matter. It's like picking between a, you know, a Ferrari and a Lamborghini. I'll take either one, okay? So I guess that's kind of what it's like.
Right.
But
right.
do you think she's comfortable now with the modern ways that people acquire and listen to music?
I think what she did is she found a team who could help her understand what you know, the recording process and the release process. And that's, you know, made her comfortable. Now, I'm not too sure on, you know, if she would do another album or anything like that. But there is an album coming out.
And we're looking forward to hearing it. Now, the song Thank You, I didn't do much research. I just heard it and I liked it, so that was that was a great start. I figured that out. That's a show topic in and of itself. And I don't Google or Wikipedia. I just sit here and talk and feel like my brain should be enough of a music library. She just released a single with an album forthcoming. It'll be on the album?
Yeah.
Okay. Have you heard the B-side? I guess, do songs have B-sides anymore, or is it just like one digital release?
No, just one. Okay. Most of the time, it's one digital release.
I guess I'm just old school where there's a 45 with a flip side. And sometimes you like the flip side better. Or with the Beatles and Elvis, many of their songs were two-sided hits.
Now, sometimes what artists will do is they'll release the single and then release a remix with or a feature with another artist to promote that original single.
Okay.
But sometimes the feature or the remix goes to number one. The original single goes nowhere.
I mean, we know Diana had that enormous hit with Lionel Richie, "Endless Love." You know, as we talked about, a great song from a dumb movie, and there's a lot of those.
Right.
Well, it was a bad movie, but it was a great song.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what, Diana Ross and Lionel Richie. I mean, how much the talent could fit the whole city of Mary. In fact, could fit the entire state of Ohio with all their talent that they have. But does Diana Ross need someone else? Does she have enough talent to carry it on her own?
No, I definitely think, you know, Diana can carry, you know, herself. No, I definitely feel that way. And she proved that when she went solo in 1970. She proved that she didn't need the Supremes. Although, you know, I love the group together.
Yeah, well, it's the same thing with Paul McCartney and Don Henley and Glenn Frey of the Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's, has Paul McCartney been bigger since he left the Beatles? I mean, he had Ebony and Ivory, Say, 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 and, you know, another song people make fun of, The Girl Is Mine. That song gets a lot of, you know, I like Ebony and Ivory, and I like Say, 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 I will admit to it.
Mm-hmm.
The Girl Is Mine, I probably could do without.
That's what Michael Jackson, right?
Yeah. It's from Thriller, I believe.
Right.
Yeah, I could do without that song, but I mean, it's okay. But, you know, I don't know why I like Say, Say, Say. It's really kind of a dumb song, but it kind of grows on you. And that's a lot of the stuff Paul McCartney did. A lot of it was more experimental than the Beatles.
Right.
Whereas with John Lennon, a lot of his songs were more political. And it just reflected his political activism. So when you go off on your own, that can certainly happen.
Right.
So as mentioned, before we cover that book, which we do want to do, I mean, you would know Mary, having been a friend of her. Did she play any instruments? Does Diana play any instruments? I just kind of wondered. I mean, again, they play their voice. That's an instrument. But, I mean, do they play piano, guitar, flute?
That I know of, no.
I don't. I was just kind of wondering. I figured anybody would know. I mean, you would.
That I know of, the only Supreme that I know to have played an instrument is Susie Green, and she was the last Supreme to join the group before the group disbanded in 1977. And I can't remember what she played offhand, but
so when you were at Mary's house again, as we talked about working for her, did she have a piano? Or I mean, something?
No.
Okay, I was just kind of wondering. You don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Many times musicians, you know, they might play an instrument, just not very well, and so they just stick to singing. Whereas someone who plays a saxophone or piano, guitar, they sing, but they aren't that good. They just sing to try to help write the songs and go with the flow of the music.
Right.
So, and then we have, you know, the infamous Milli Vanilli, where the two people on the album cover and at the infamous Grammy Awards event, they sing, but they really aren't very good, so they had the session singers, but they pretended that, I guess that's the song, they pretended that the people on the album cover were the actual singers.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a whole other conversation for topic, but kind of hard to think about the Milli Vanilli incidents without giggling a few times. So, Nick, again, we're taking your telephone calls. 740-383-9944 about great Motown R&B music from the 60s to the present, about our being pleased that Diana Ross sounds as good as 2021 as she did in the 60s and 70s with her new hit single called Thank You. Well, I think it'll be a hit. It certainly sounds like one. And an album forthcoming. You brought with you, Nick, a book called Supreme Exit.
Yeah.
So tell us about that book.
Florence Ballard's daughter, Nicole, had teamed up with another lady named Nicole when she goes by Uno 220. And, you know, the book is about Florence Ballard's life after she left the group. So pretty much her home life, her relationship with her husband, her relationship with her kids, and then up until her death. And then it goes into some of, you know, her children's personal life, you know, after they lost their mother. So that's pretty much what the book is about.
So you've read the book?
Yeah.
And did you learn anything, or what kind of a...
Some small details that I didn't know before. But yeah, no, it's definitely informative as far as... it's informative in the way that it's from another perspective. Most books written have been from outside looking in, or from people who've done interviews. So, for example, if something were to happen to me, you were to write a book about the interview me and you did, and you...
Now that would be fun, writing a book, writing a book about you.
That was pretty much, you know, how things were written previously. So this is actually someone who lived in the house with Florence and can tell, you know, what happened, what she was like on a day-to-day. You know what I mean?
But you're saying a lot of what was there wasn't very surprising, or you pretty much knew about?
Yes and no. Yes and no. A strong yes and no.
Was there something in particular that was surprising or kind of a bit shocking? Maybe you were not expecting to see that in print?
I don't want to tell it with giving the book away.
Yeah, we don't want a spoiler.
But
there is some
of the stuff about her children. Some of the stuff that her children went through after she died.
Yeah, that would be a sensitive topic, mm-hmm. and something you may not know much about.
And then the abuse with her husband.
Yeah, so it's a absorbing book.
Yeah,
for sure. And whenever you read something, you do learn something, mm-hmm. and we definitely recommended reading.
Right.
So, about 6 minutes before the hour of three here at the Talking Place, WWGH Radio. Adam here with Nick Stiles, a Motown R&B old school music historian and aficionado. He runs a Supremes fan club page on social media, and he worked for Mary Wilson up until the time that she passed away. So, lots of anecdotes. Information that we've learned, and almost 3 hours of talking with this gentleman. I asked you this last time, Nick, but I think it's an important question. Of course, mm-hmm. you're kind of wondering, what is Adam going to ask me now? Because you never quite know. With radio hosts, it's always a bit of a surprise when you sit across from somebody and don't really have a script, and we just talk off the cuff. I do better that way. So where do you see yourself in 5 years? We talked about you have aspirations maybe of being a personal assistant or a staff member to other musicians or people in the entertainment business. Where do you see yourself? You're 27 there in 5 years. Where would you like to see yourself?
One thing I'd like to have, happiness. After that, I would like to have, where I see myself is, like I said, happy. Having a, you know, if not started, getting my own business started. My dream is to have my own clothing line, my own clothing store. So having that, as well as a few other businesses, but that's my main dream, is to have my own clothing store.
Your name certainly is conducive to being in the clothing business.
Mm-hmm.
that's kind of convenient, isn't it?
Right. Right.
You are developing a clothing line.
Yeah.
And tell us a little bit about it.
It's not really me designing the clothes, more of me picking through pre-made, going through samples and picking pre-made garments. But it would be, there'll be like kind of pretty much a reflection of me. What I would wear or what I would like to see people in, those are the clothes that will be available.
And it's men and women's?
Men and women's, yes.
Okay. Anything in particular kind of style that Styles likes to style himself by? How's that for a little tongue twister?
I love vintage clothing. So the vintage style of vintage clothing.
Yeah. Well, you like vintage music, so
right.
Of course. So yeah, the vintage and vintage cars, I mean, a lot of the older stuff, it's cool. And it's often made a lot better, too.
But when I will say that what I want from like my whole boutique is once it's up and running, it's an experience. You know, when you walk away, when you walk out of my store, you're left with an experience. You're left with a memory, of a positive memory, and it's something that you want to come back to.
And that's a lot like music. You hear a song and you feel good. I mean, mm-hmm. now some songs are kind of depressing. I think the Supremes, their songs are all happy, and that was part of their image. But
right.
sometimes these depressing ballads, you enjoy them and let you reflect. So it isn't necessarily bad. But yeah, if you go to a store, even if you don't buy anything, you want to leave with a good feeling. And
right.
That's so important, especially with the current state of the world. You got to have those positive experiences. You really can't beat the importance of that.
That's true.
Adam here, winding down another fine show here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio. We get together every Monday between approximately 10:13 a.m. and 11 to discuss politics, current events, and whatever else might be on your mind or on my mind. And Tuesday and Thursday, we often talk technology, but sometimes we talk about current events or have guests or have a surprise or two. Tuesday or Thursday show airing between 2:13 and 3 in the p.m. Again, if you ever miss a program from me or anybody else, go to our website, wwgh1071.com, and you can listen on demand. And again, feel free to email me, adam@wwgh1071.com. Nick, we have about a minute and 15 seconds left. Want to thank you again for coming down here and joining me here at the studio.
Thank you for having me.
Our official microphones, and appreciate the people who have called and talked with us and asked the questions.
No, this is fun. I like this.
Radio is fun. You know, you can see why I came back to it after a hiatus. I guess like Diana, you know, you always go back to what you love doing.
Right.
So, in the last 52 seconds, any parting words for us?
I don't know. Besides, you know, thank you for having me. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to, you know, talk to you, to Mary, and talk to the world.
Yeah. Sorry to put you on the spot there, but that's okay. We appreciate having you on.
Like I said, I like the questions that make me think.
we like to do that, as we often hear things from our guests that we don't know. We don't often know the answer. We think we come in the studio and we know what we're going to expect.
Right.
But sometimes you don't, and that's all part of the fun of live radio, things that you don't always get in the age of social media. Thanks again for listening. AdamTheComputerGuy.com.